Father, we thank you for your word this morning. God, we thank you that your word is alive and powerful, and this morning we can boldly just and confidently yield ourselves to your word, God. And we pray by your spirit, Lord, that you'd shape us and mold us and make us, Lord, transform us into the image of your Son, Lord. Oh Lord, this morning we acknowledge, God, that we are so dependent upon your Holy Spirit, and we pray that you'd come and teach us and you'd come and lead us into all truth this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. For the next 3 weeks or so, we're going to focus a little bit on relationships. And as we've spent a lot of time on parenting and a bit of and that type of thing, I'm going to try and throw the net a bit wider this morning. So let's see how we go on. As thinking. Look about this whole parenting thing, actually, that comes up in your mind. And then, with Anna and I having our daughter soon, you never know when she's going to arrive, but seems ready. Exciting times, you start thinking of stuff like leaving a legacy and of kind of imparting to your children and amazing, all those amazing things Rolf is talking about. But, I don't know if you had your grandparents that told you all these amazing stories when you were little. Actually, my one uncle, he told us stories of when they were in the Second World War and they had to hide under the floorboards of the house because the Russians were coming, and it was like, crazy stories, And then, there's life stories that happen. And I don't know, I think we all have that desire to have a life story to tell. One day to sit with your children or your grandchildren or whoever has to listen actually at that stage and to tell them, that time we went to India or that time we had that outreach at the fair in Weybridge, just a life story that's going to inspire somebody and that is going to be a blessing to people. And not only that, but bring glory to God. And we see some incredible life stories like that in Scripture. We see, the Old Testament, New Testament, doesn't matter, people are 100% following hard after God and having incredible experiences with God, the power of God, the presence of God, the love of God, and kind of that impacting them and their surroundings in amazing ways. And this morning, I want to look at one of them just a little bit, just as an introduction. And we read a little bit of what Paul writes to the Philippian church. And Paul's got one of those life stories, that it's a bit crazy, and you kind of think, well, that I want a bit of that story, but not all of it. because he was beaten to the edge of his, to the inch of his life once or twice, at least twice, and, shipwrecked and stoned and etc. But it's got incredible stories to tell. But now we're in this little bit in Philippians 3. We get an understanding, we get a little bit of a glimpse into where does this come from? Why do some people have these life stories and others have some of us are just kind of making it day by day. Well, that's what I feel like sometimes. Let's read what he says and get a bit of an insight into how he approaches life. From verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So we see this, it's a bit of a mouthful, but we see this guy is focused. You know, his whole life is kind of pointing in a direction, and he's kind of, everything he's doing and he's seeing is reaching toward the goal. Firstly, he knows what it is, which is, I think, a good start. You know, he knows where he's going. He's running hard, and he's getting rid of everything from the past that might be slowing him down, and he's pressing forward. And he's living out of an incredible conviction. And to be honest with you, some days I think that is one of the things we lack. We lack that incredible conviction of this is what I'm living for now, here, today, 100%. And that, I think, has a big influence. But Paul, you can see, he knows where he's going. He knows the course that he's running, and he's pressing on. He wants to finish the race. And we know he did. He got martyred for his faith, which is, I suppose, in his book, is probably the best ending there could have been. Now, the challenge we face is actually just something on the side that I feel I must share. Is this week, somebody challenged me. He said, if your faith doesn't cost you anything, it's not worth anything. I was like, what? You know? And it's that, you know, if your faith doesn't cost you anything, you know, is it worth anything? Looking from the whole perspective, and you know, mostly the cost involved is around holiness and our being separate unto God. But now we see this in Paul's life before I get distracted completely, and I just want to focus on a little bit of a specific thing here this morning, and I don't know, maybe you can relate to this. You know, often we find ourselves in life, we're going through stages in life, we're going to go through seasons, and we get to a place where when you think ahead and you do your planning, like, I don't know, most of us like to do, or at least kind of imagining about what lies ahead, there's often a logical next step that you have in mind. You know, if you've just finished your studies, you know, the logical next step is to kind of look for your dream job and, you know, and get at it, you know, or maybe the next logical step is to, you know, relationship, marriage. If you're married, the next logical step maybe to start a family or to kind of go, you know, move into a new, bigger home. There's a lot of things kind of that we're working towards or that we're having in front of us. But the incredible thing is that, you know, it could be different, you know, like I said, many different things. It could even be something in your career. It could be that promotion that you think this is the logical next thing. I'm going to go for this 100%. I'm going to, you know, work towards that. And these goals and desires, and obviously a lot of them are from God. There's nothing wrong with that. But the amazing thing that happens is what happens at the culmination, or, you know, when that thing actually comes to pass, there's two things that happen, okay? If it does come to pass, say, for instance, yes, you do get your dream job immediately, which doesn't happen often to any of us, but you know, immediately you step into that dream job and you can't believe it and it's amazing. And what often happens when that logical next step happens and you do receive that blessing, often that blessing consumes our lives completely. And what was designed to be a blessing now just takes over. But now, to this morning, I'm going to talk more about the other side of the coin, where that logical next step doesn't happen as we thought it would. Where, you know, I remember when I was, it was way back, I've kind of finished studying, I was almost starting my second batch of studying. I spread it out a bit, but I was convinced that I was ready to go into a relationship, and I was very keen. And but it seemed like it wasn't going to work out that way. And for about 7 years, there was drought in that area of my life. But the thing is now, you know, whatever it may be, whether it may be a job or that promotion or that home or wanting to start a family or, you know, in my case, that relationship, when it doesn't come, what do we do with that? What do we do with when things don't work out the way we thought they're going to work out? And you know, remind me that we're going to pray afterwards, okay? But how do we deal with that? How do we work through that? And now the big challenge here is that if we, you know, initially, like I said, most of the time this desire is from God, whether it be to start a family or to marry or to have a great job or to pursue a career. But when we suddenly find ourselves getting so fixed on this one thing, it seems to take over our lives. Whether we've received it or whether we haven't received it, it's funny, it does the same thing. And what happens is, as we focus more of our faith and more of our energy on this one thing, we are in danger of missing the thing that God actually wants to give us in that season. And we're putting our faith in there, and we're praying, and we're fasting maybe, or you know, we're putting a lot of energy and time and faith into something, and God is saying, but I'm busy doing something here. I want to bless you with something, but we're in danger of missing that what God is wanting to do in that specific season. And instead of and in addition to that, we often allow that thing, again, whether when we've received it or when we've not received it, or both of them work the same way, it's interesting. We allow that thing to define who we are. Whether if we did get that dream job, then we're like, yeah, I'm the man. Obviously, you know, I'm headed for greatness. You know, this is me. I'm styling. I'm going for it. Nobody can stop me now, type of thing, on my way to the top. But if we don't get that dream job or that promotion, then we allow that also to define us. I think, yeah, maybe that what that teacher said is true. Maybe I am a failure. Maybe I'm doomed, you know, deemed to just be average. You know, then we allow that thing that we're focusing on, we allow that to define us. We allow that to shape the way we look at ourselves. And that is dangerous. But what basically happens is we've basically created an idol. Just to say it straight like that. Okay. We have made something the center of our faith walk that isn't, and it's not Jesus. You know, we've kind of asking God to help us out with this thing, but all our faith and all our energy and all our emotional and, you know, physical and spiritual energy, if you can call it that, is going into this thing instead of going into worshiping Christ, worshiping God. And because we're allowing this thing to define us, it can easily spiral out of control. We're allowing something else than the Word of God to define who we are and to establish our identity. And the scary thing is, the thing that was supposed to be a blessing to us, whether it is now or in the future, now turns into something that has the potential to separate us from God or alienate us from God, because God is not keen to share His place in the center of our lives with anything or with anyone in our lives. And we focus on the blessing or the gift or the lack of it instead of on the blessor or the giver of the gift. Are you with me this morning? Instead of allowing the Word of God to be defined by the Word of God, we allowing something else to define us. And now that's an interesting thing. When most of us, are using these I things, iPod, iPad, what is it, iPhone. I heard they're bringing out an iCar. In any case, but we got one of those little ones. It's not completely rectangular. It's got like a bit of a curve in it. It's quite cool. Those, I don't know what it's called, but if I didn't really know what it was for, I could use it for a doorstop. You know, I could jam it under the door. If I could just kick it under the door, it would work pretty well. I'm sure it would.
As if, you know, if somebody gave me an iPhone and I thought, wow, this would definitely fit under the door that I'm struggling to keep open, and I could really jam it in there, and you agree that it'll probably work. But what we find in life is that when we use something for something other than what it was designed to do, we often end up destroying it, especially in the kitchen. You know, that knife that your wife... let me just make it personal. That knife that I'm using for a screwdriver, that's not really a screwdriver. And then, you know, then it ends up being a bit of, you know, there's tension because I've used it for something it's not designed to do and then I've destroyed it. Okay, I don't know, it's never happened to you guys. But, so it's the same in this case, you know, when we as being created by God, you know, when I take that iPod and I put it under my door there, and then I find the manual and I read, wow, man, look at what this thing can do. You know, I'll be amazed, and I'll kind of think, wow, this is a whole new world opening up to me. And the same happens to us is when we allow something else than the Word of God. The Word is the manual, okay, and God is the one who has created us. When we allow something else to define who we are, we end up destroying ourselves. And worse, our relationship with God, or at the least, we damage it quite badly. Okay? Are you with me still? When we allow something else than the Word of God to define us and to dictate or kind of be the manual of use of how we live life and yeah, operate in life. Now, the challenge here this morning, and I'm not going to only focus on the relationship bit, but I just want to lay the foundation for where we're going in the next 3 weeks. And now, we find ourselves this morning in many different seasons here, okay? I see it's very blessed to have lots of different generations represented, from grandparents to very small little ones and unborn ones as well, which is amazing. And but whichever season you find yourself in this morning, you know, you maybe have something in mind, like what I was saying, what is the next logical step? You've got one of those in mind, whether it is more grandchildren or retirement, or whether it is starting a family or getting married or whatever. But what I want to encourage you with today is that God has a purpose and a plan for you today, now. Beyond that thing that lies ahead, or that thing you've just received that is kind of taking over your life, today, now, God has a purpose and a plan for each of us. And the danger is that the warning I'm throwing out there, and the encouragement I'm throwing out there is, do not get bogged down whether you have with this next step or this blessing you've just received. Take a hold of the purpose and the plan of God for you now, today. And that's a challenge for us because, I mean, after we've been taught so much about parenting specifically, it's easy for something like that, I think, to take over our lives. And I have to be careful now because I'm going into the new season myself. So you might be able to throw this word back at me in a week or three. But I think it's easy, whether it be that job, that dream job, whatever it may be, it's easy for us to just go, wow, and just to lose ourselves in that thing. But when I look at Paul, I see something else. I see somebody that's getting rid of stuff left and right to make sure he doesn't lose the central thing that is so important to him, that is so precious to him. And that's where I'm going this morning. Let's look at Psalm 139, 13 to 15. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Incredible the what has gone into your existence. The maker, the creator of heaven and earth, shaping you, making us, molding us in the womb. Then Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God has created you and I on purpose. Isn't that amazing? There's no accidents. One of the people that we prayed for in the tent last week said he's illegitimate. So I said to him, sir, with great respect, your parents might have been illegitimate, but you are definitely not illegitimate. Because you have no choice in the matter. You have been planned by God and purposed by God. And when we read Psalm 139, we see there that understanding of what has gone into that, fearfully and wonderfully made, woven together in the womb, shaped in the in an incredible way, for a purpose, with a design, with something in mind, not randomly. And if we lose sight of this, the central purpose, the central relationship, the central focus in our lives is what we can see so powerfully in Paul's life, we are in the danger of even wrecking that amazing thing that God has prepared for us, missing that purpose and that plan. And, you know, I know specifically in terms of relationship, you know, if you're married and have children, don't let the blessing become an idol. If you're not married, or you don't have children, don't let that become something that pulls you away from God and kills whatever God is wanting to do in our lives, and just kind of pulls us away from that incredible purpose and that incredible design, and that purpose and that plan that He has for us now and today. And what I've actually found in church is often sometimes we create the sense of married with children is the ultimate Christian experience and the goal. Okay? I don't know, maybe it's not like that here in Weybridge. But in some churches, that is kind of the sense one gets, is that is the aim, the final destination. And I've seen this in Joburg, when we were in Joburg, there is a sense of shame if I'm not there. Maybe I'm not married yet. Maybe I'm married, but I don't have children. And there's a sense, and people fall under the sense of shame because I haven't attained the final frontier. And I'm telling you, I want to just encourage you this morning, that is not the case. Okay? There's no such thing. In actual fact, I want to maybe depress some married people here this morning, because Paul, Paul writes quite strongly about this. In 1 Corinthians, I'm going to read this, and this is the scripture. Okay, 1 Corinthians 7:29-35. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. Those who weep as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they did not possess. And those who use this world as not misusing it, for the form of this world is passing away. But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. How's that? So I just want us to get rid of this thing of feeling this, I'm like a second-rate citizen in the kingdom because I don't have a family of 15 children, or I'm not yet married, etc. But the challenge here is that Paul writes, he says, okay, yes, some of us have these distractions we have to deal with, but that's not necessarily like the best thing ever, obviously, you know, but he's clearly saying there are pros and cons, okay, to being married and not being married, to having children and not having children. And obviously we've heard a lot about the blessing that is that on and having a family. But the critical thing here this morning is that wherever we find ourselves at, in whichever season, is that there's a purpose and a plan right now. And if we fix our eyes on something else that is lying ahead, or a blessing that is consuming our lives now, we're going to miss that thing that God has for us. And if you, whatever season you're in, if you still have that desire, there's nothing wrong with that desire, okay? That's great. But take a hold of what God has for you now. Don't miss what He has for you right now. In terms of relationships, we're going to look specifically more in the next few weeks, practicalities around relationships. And a quote I heard this week, which is quite interesting, in terms of, you know, wanting to get married one day, if you have the desire, like I said, it's a good desire. But I think it's Andy Stanley said, are you the person who the person you are looking for is looking for? Should I say that again? Are you the person who the person you are looking for is looking for? Which is an interesting question. And the point I'm making is we sometimes have a specific list of, you know, criteria, whatever, whether it's a person we're looking for or a job or the next home, etc. But obviously in this case, the person makes more sense. Is that we're looking for something specific, but have we become whole in ourselves? Have we become that person that other person is looking for? So my encouragement is take a hold of this time. Take a hold of this season. Take a hold of what God wants to do in your life. Become everything that He has called you to become, whether you're a dad, whether you, you know, becoming a grandparent, whatever it is, God is still at work in and through us, in our character and how we are, you know, who we are. He's so interested in who we are as a person, and He wants us to become everything He has created us to be. And this is just so much more difficult when you're married. Okay, but in any case, in terms of Paul, and just for those of you maybe still not married, looking forward to that, the life story we see in Scripture of Paul is so powerful because of his single-minded focus and because of his, you know, running 100% after God. And when your life story is happening like that, you know, when you're going for God 100%, you're following after Him, seeking the kingdom, then when somebody does come alongside and you notice someone and you think, wow, that's cool, when that person's life story, their life story is also happening and they're also running 100% after God, it's so easy to bring those two together because you're already going in the same direction. Okay? But when we find ourselves, you know, and then, yeah, when you put those together, then the love story can happen easy. But when we find ourselves focusing on the love story and desperately trying to make it happen, but we're not going anywhere as a person, you know, that even that love story, a life story is not happening, even that love story is kind of deemed to not to make it because we're not going anywhere in Christ. Are you with me still? But that applies even when you're married as well, when you have children. That love story, that the things that come alongside our life story in Christ are following after His purpose and plan. Those things, if they're not the main thing, they will succeed because that we, you know, in any good business, they will tell you the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Okay? And in our case, the main thing is Christ and His call and seeking Him and following hard after Him. And when that thing is in place, anything else, blessing that God wants to add can be added easily without throwing you off course. Are you with me this morning? Whether it be children, whether it be a relationship, whether it be that dream job, when you are fixed, When you've got your eyes on the prize and you're running 100% for that thing, God can add blessing and He can add momentum and He can add those things, and nothing is going to throw you off course. We will stick to that thing. We keep our eyes focused on Him. So in terms of becoming that person, sometimes we say that, you know, we talk of our husband or our spouse as our other half, but it's not really biblical, you know. two half people don't make a good marriage. Two whole people, yes, we can talk about that. So this is a season to, when you're not there yet, to become whole, to become full. And that's kind of the challenge I've had, even with, you know, becoming a parent. I don't think you can ever be really ready. But still, there's a season where we grow in who we are, so that we are equipped the day that we do become parents. In Psalm 63:1-5, "Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips." We see this, if I think it's David, he's so focused on Jesus. He's accomplished a lot in his life, but he's so in love with God. His desire is for Him. And because of that, he can worship God and he can praise Him. And he's just so content with where he's at because he's focusing on that, which is the most important thing. And so he goes through valleys and he goes through difficult times, but his eyes are fixed on Christ. And he's not thrown off. He can just worship. He says, "Yeah, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness." His soul is satisfied, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. He's experiencing something of that fullness of life that we see in Paul's life as well. We see that abundance of life that Jesus says he came to die for. And he's grabbing hold of that. And my encouragement for us this morning is, take a hold of that fullness of life today. Take a hold of that, the season that you're in right now. Grab a hold of His provision. Seek God. Seek His kingdom. Seek the face of Jesus Christ with everything that you have. Keep the main thing the main thing. Keep your eyes on the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. We're going to have communion this morning. So if some of the guys at the back can just help us hand out the elements. Thanks. Father, we thank you that we can stand with Ian and his family this morning. Yeah, Lord, we cancel that lie that says that Jenny is a curse to her mom. We break that lie in the name of Jesus Christ. And we declare over her life that she is not a curse, but she is a good and perfect blessing from the Father. In the name of Jesus, we break every lie of the devil and every curse that has come over her because of that. And we cancel that now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we speak over her, you are a blessing. And you are accepted and you are loved and you are precious in the name of Jesus. And right now we speak to her body, we speak to that kidney in the name of Jesus. We command you to obey the word of the Lord, and we command you to be healed in the name of Jesus. And by the stripes of Jesus Christ, be healed in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, even this week, that your hand is upon her, Lord, that you will restore function to that kidney in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray your peace over that family, Lord, that they would know your presence, Lord, that they would know the comfort of your Holy Spirit. God, and I thank you, Lord, that they would know your hand upon them in such a way that they will not deny your goodness, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, that even this week that they would taste and see that you are good in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would turn their hearts toward you in Jesus' name. Father, we pray, Lord, for salvation to come to that house, God, to that family in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you are faithful, God, to finish the good work that you started in their lives until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Ian. Father, we thank you this morning and we can celebrate the cross. That we can just stand for a moment, Father, and remember, as your word says, do this in remembrance of you, Lord, as we take this bread as a symbol of the broken body of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you for it. And as we take it, we thank you for health, for Jenny, and for each of us here, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for abundance of life and health in the name of Jesus. We thank you that this represents, the broken body of Christ represents the provision that you have made for us in every area, Lord, in every imaginable thing you have made a way for us. And we take a hold of that this morning in Jesus' name. We thank you that your provision is perfect, God. We thank you that we are one body. We are united in Christ. And we celebrate that this morning in Jesus' name. And as we take this bread, we command every spirit of infirmity to leave in Jesus' name. And we receive health and life in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's eat together. Lord, we thank you that you love us so much, that you love the world in a way that you gave your Son. You paid the highest price imaginable, the highest price ever paid for our lives and for the lives of every person out there. And this morning we thank you for the blood of Jesus that was shed for the remission of our sins, Lord, and for the sins of the world. And this morning we take this cup as a symbol of the blood that was shed for us, Lord. That blood that is still in the ground there where Jesus died is still crying out and is still proclaiming the fullness of the cross and the life that is in the blood. God, I thank you this morning as we take it for ourselves, we thank you for it. But Lord, we proclaim in this place, we lift up the cross of Christ in this place, and we declare that the blood of Jesus is sufficient for Weybridge in Jesus' name. It is sufficient for Walton and Shepparton and the surrounding areas. The blood of Jesus is sufficient for London and for your UK and for Europe. And the blood of Christ is sufficient that whoever will call upon his name will be saved in the name of Jesus. God, we pray for many to call upon your name. God, and as we take a hold of this blood this morning again, we thank you for abundance of life in Christ. We thank you for resurrection power. And God, I thank you, Lord, that this morning even that we can throw aside everything that is consuming our lives that is not Christ. That we can lay aside everything that we have idolized in the name of Jesus. And we can take a hold of your purpose and that we can seek your kingdom in the name of Jesus. Let's drink together. Oh God, I thank you for your word this morning, Lord. Thank you that your word is incorruptible seed, God, and it takes root in our lives. I thank you that it bears fruit, Lord, to the glory of your name, for the sake of your kingdom. Father, and as we go out to this week, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would give us that boldness to take hold of our inheritance every day, to ask you for the nations, God, but to also, Lord, to seek your face, to seek that true intimacy that we've been singing about, Lord. God, that we would stop at nothing. We would get rid of everything that is standing between us and you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you. I pray for every person. I come against every fear of man, every fear of rejection, in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you for a boldness to seek you, Lord, a boldness to follow hard after you, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.